Sound like angels singing in here. That just right then. It was more than us.
Hallelujah.
Really sounded like about four pianos, didn't it?
Hallelujah.
Am I going crazy, or did it sound like about four pianos? Just did. There was a ooh, like just begin to swell in there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Paul said in Romans, the 14th chapter, the 17th verse, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, right standing with God. Right, being right with God, knowing that you're right. Knowing that you can stand before God without the stain or the penalty of sin, without the power or the penalty of it, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Unfortunately, there are many in the body of Christ today who do not have very much peace and they don't have much joy. We talked last night about peace and about how God had given peace and how we're required to hold on to it. So that it's not stolen from us. I want to say a few words tonight about joy and about liberty, especially about liberty, which produces joy. You know, if you're in bondage, you're not going to have much joy. If you're locked up in a little 3x3 room somewhere, you're not going to be very happy. And if you're bound in any area of your life spiritually, there won't be much joy. Now, the devil would love to rob the body of Christ of its joy. Why? Because God's word says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so if he can steal the joy from the church, if he can steal your joy individually, if he can take the joy out of your home, if he can take the joy out of these services, if he can take the joy out of the church, he can also take your strength. It's just like giving you a tranquilizer. It's just like sucking away your power. Because the joy of the Lord, God's word says, is our strength. Righteousness, peace, and joy is what the kingdom of God is all about. But if he can steal, that is Satan, our joy, then we're not going to have the fullness of our inheritance in the kingdom of God. We will be weak Christians without the strength of the Lord, and he'll just run back and forth over us like a bulldozer. That is the devil. Now, unfortunately, many churches are like that. They have no joy. Their services are dead. There's no life in the people. And there's no power in what's going on in the place. Over in the book of Isaiah, in the 61st chapter, is where we want to begin tonight. Isaiah 61. Verse 1. This is the prophecy through the lips of Isaiah concerning the coming of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus himself, over in the 4th chapter of the book of Luke, on the day that he first declared himself to Israel, he was in the tabernacle, or the synagogue rather, in Nazareth, his hometown. And in the 17th verse, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the 61st chapter. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." God's word says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifest for the express purpose to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. He came so that the people who were bound could be set at liberty. He came to bring freedom and liberty to a bound and enslaved race. From the time of Adam until the time of Jesus, every human being was enslaved by the bondage of Satan, enslaved by the power of sin. Isaiah prophesied and Jesus said, "I'm the one." Today this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. That God's Spirit is on me, he said, to preach liberty to them that are captive. Now, what does that have to do with us today? It has to do this. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if the Lord Jesus lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been set at liberty. You have been set free. Now, if I were to say to you that you've been set free from sin, that you've been set free from the penalty of hell, that you have been set free from the oppression of Satan, you'd all say, yeah, we know all that. That's not what I said. I said you've been set free at liberty, 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 liberty. Liberty to be all that God has provided for you to be. Liberty to be everything that God has planned for you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, it's the 3rd chapter, 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 17th verse. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." Where God's Spirit is present, there's freedom. There's liberty. Paul said over in Romans, the 8th chapter, that it was a glorious liberty. He said that all of the creation was waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God and the glorious liberty that God had given them. He said the liberty that God has given us is glorious. In our schools, we teach our children that the United States of America was founded on the principle that all men were created equal and are entitled to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, historically through the church, we have not taught the right of God's children to be at liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. James tells us that this book is the perfect law of liberty. James, the 1st chapter, the 25th verse, he says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." The word of the living God is the law of liberty. Jesus said it another way. He said, "You'll know my truth and my word. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall set you at liberty. Unfortunately, in the church today, as since the beginning, there have been those within the church who have tried to bring the children of God back into bondage once again, when Jesus Christ has given us liberty. He has broken the chains that bind us and set us free. But others, for whatever reason, have wanted to bring the children of God back into bondage once again. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, the 2nd chapter. I believe God's going to give us tonight by the Spirit some practical counsel concerning the Christian life. Paul was having a problem with the churches, the Gentile churches that he had founded in the region of Galatia. It seems that there were those who were reported to be Christians. I suspect some of them were. And they had followed him around and they had gone to these churches that he had established around Galatia. And they went in and they said, if you're really going to be a true Christian, you got to be circumcised. Don't you know that the law says that circumcision is the sign of the covenant, and a good Christian will be circumcised and do all that the law says that you must do. Therefore, you're a reprobate if you don't get circumcised. You're lost. You haven't really been born again. The experience you have is a false one. This Paul, he didn't tell you true. You haven't done everything that is necessary to get yourself saved. You're not really saved. You're lost and you're believing a lie. And Paul got wind of it. And he wrote this letter. Now, if you want a lesson in Christian liberty, read the whole letter. We don't have time to do that tonight, but there are three passages in it I want you to look at with me. In the second chapter, in the fourth verse, Paul says these words, "And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." He said, false brethren. He said, those who called themselves Christians, brothers in the Lord, had come into the midst of the churches, and the reason they came in was to spy out the liberty that they had in Christ in order to bring them back into a bondage once again, bring them back into a slavery, to a system, to a doctrine, to a law. He said they came in to spy out our liberty. They didn't like the freedom that we had, Paul said. It bothered them that we were so joyful. It frustrated them that we were so free in Jesus. It made them feel awful because we were so enjoying our faith and they were so miserable with theirs. It bugged them. They would come into our services. And it bugged them because they're used to this kind of service. They're used to hearing what sinners they are. And they come into our services, Paul said, and all we knew was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All we knew that where the Spirit of the Lord was, there's liberty. All we knew was to sing in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. They didn't like that because they said you weren't supposed to do that unless the Holy Spirit moved upon you. They didn't like that. So they began to spy out our liberty, and they wanted to bring us back into bondage once again. Now, unfortunately, that is exactly what has happened in many of the Spirit-filled churches of our day. That is precisely what has happened in the Pentecostal move of God's Spirit over the last 40 or 50 years. And that is exactly what the devil would like to do today in this latter-day outpouring of the Spirit of God. You see, the reason that so many people are being saved today is that they are seeing for the first time what the kingdom of God is really all about. Righteousness, rightness with God, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Man, I like that recipe. Let me have some. Well, this is how you get it. You just fall before Jesus and confess Him as Lord. He'll forgive your sins, wipe them away, and start you out on a brand new life. You become a new creature. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Come on into my heart, Jesus. Oh, praise God, He did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo. See, nobody told him he couldn't do that. And so all he did was how he felt. His peace and his joy got to flowing. And nobody said, now, hey, brother, woo, you'll get in the flesh. Woo, no, don't you know that you'll offend somebody? Don't you understand that a good Christian won't do that? You're a grown-up person. That's all right for kids, but not for adults. Nobody ever told him any different, and so he just went on. See? Praising God. Do you know what happened? As he praised God and the peace and the joy was flowing, his brother saw what happened to him. He said, what happened to you? Well, I found out about Jesus. I found out about the kingdom of God. I feel so good on the inside. I'm clean and white. I feel wonderful inside. Jesus is really real. Well, tell me what happened to you. Well, I just received. I even asked him to come into my heart to save you. And he did. He did. Can I do it? Oh, yeah. How do you do it? Well, this is how you do it. Oh, hallelujah. He did. See, and one becomes two, and two become four, and four become eight, and eight become 100. And the first thing you know, the glory of God is seen over the entire world. But how many want the kind of kingdom that requires you to be always, what's the word? Reverent. Respectful. Now, I reverence my Heavenly Father, and I'm respectful of my Heavenly Father. But God's word says the kingdom of God, he didn't say that it was reverence. He didn't say that it was silence. He said it was righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The word didn't say that Jesus Christ came to make us religious. He came to break the power of religion over men. He said that you have by your traditions made the word of God of none effect. That's why he came, to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the devil's works is to establish religious tradition that binds and enslaves men. Paul says, they came in to spy out our liberty. Listen to what he said he did. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Now, if you put that in common everyday language, Paul said, we didn't give them the time of day. Because we could see right through them. We saw what they were trying to do. We did not give them place, not even for an hour. We didn't give them the time of day. Turn over with me to the 5th chapter now of the book of Galatians. Verse number 1, Paul says this. I believe this is the word of the Lord to Water of Life Christian Center tonight. This is the word of the Lord to you and me individually and personally tonight. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What did he say? He said, stand fast. He said, get the piece of ground that God's established for you. Get your feet firmly planted on it and stand there. And don't you let anybody knock you off of it. Stand fast in that liberty. No, you won't, brother. I love you just the same. But I'm not taking on the load that you want to lay on me. You'll forgive me, but I'm not taking your load on. You'll forgive me, but I'm not taking your tradition on. You'll forgive me, but I'm not taking your bondage on, because God hath not given me the spirit of bondage again to fear, but rather the spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father. I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. That's all right. If that's what you want to do, that's okay. But I'm standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. Bless God, I was bound long enough. And I'm not trading one form of bondage for another. I've been set at liberty. You're not going to put me back in a cage. Stand fast. Hold on. Resist any attempt to bring you into bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He said, look, people, these well-meaning brothers have said that in order to really and truly be saved, that you must be circumcised. Paul says, if you go out and be circumcised believing that, then Christ doesn't profit you at all. Because your salvation is in circumcision, not in simple faith. And the grace of God is manifested in Christ Jesus. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now what does that mean? If you go out and get circumcised and believe that by the keeping of that law you're going to be right with God, then you are already obligated to keep all the rest of God's laws, every one. Because you have demonstrated by your actions that you believe righteousness and right standing with God, salvation comes from doing good works. So you're indebted then, you better do it all. Do all the rest of it too. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. If the law justifies you, then you're fallen from the grace of God. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, not by works. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. He says it won't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. That won't matter to God one bit. The only thing that matters to God is faith in Christ Jesus. That working by love, that'll make you right with God. Just that. That's all. The rest of it makes no difference. You did run well. You were doing great, he said. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You were doing fine. Who is it that came in and caused you to stumble? Who's feeding you all this junk? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This truth, this word, this instruction does not come from God, he said. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little wickedness in your midst. A little false doctrine. Remember Jesus said in Luke, I forget what chapter it was, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of bad teaching, the leaven of bad doctrine. He said, when that gets started in the midst of you, he says it just leavens and goes all through the whole thing. Be careful. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? In other words, he said, if my gospel was one that said you have to be circumcised in order to be saved, why are the Jews trying to kill me? He said, I never preached that. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. He says, those that are trying to ensnangle you again or entangle you and ensnare you once again, he says, I wish they'd be cut off. I wish they'd be cut off. Now, how does that get manifested today? There are those, I want you to know that the devil does not like what's going on here. He just doesn't like it, you see? There's a joyful place. It's a joyful place. You'd have to want to stay in your pit in order to come in here and in a pit and walk out in the same pit. You have to want to stay in it. Because the peace and the joy of God is just flowing in this place. There's liberty here. Those of us who have been part of this ministry from the very beginning can see the great wisdom and the great love of God, that he protected us from things that we didn't even know were dangerous in the beginning. He protected us from those that wanted to tell us what was the right thing to do. He protected us from man's doctrines and man's traditions, which would have enslaved us and ensnared us once again in the yoke of bondage. And those of you that were part of the early ministry there know what I'm talking about. How does that manifest itself today? If anything's going on here that's of value to God, the devil despises it, and he will do anything he can to hinder it, to interrupt it, and to weaken us. One of the things that he would love to do is send some brethren to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus and ensnare us once again with bondage. If you're not part of our denomination, you're not going to make the rapture. I love you, brother, and I just, God sent me here to tell you that. I'm concerned about you and about your people, brother. I know you love the Lord, and I know that you're very sincere, but you haven't really received the fullness of the revelation yet. Now, it'd be all right. Your church, you can maintain your church just the way it is, but become part of our denomination, then you'd be sure to make the rapture. Hogwash. Shortly after the group that began this church 2 years ago left the other denominational church, we hadn't been gone a week or two. And the word was out that that had happened and that God had called us to form another church, an interdenominational spirit-filled church. I received a phone call one day from a pastor of a church. I didn't know the church, knew nothing about it, didn't know the man. And he wanted to talk to me, and I arranged to have lunch with him. And as we talked over lunch, he didn't intend to tell me everything he told me, but as I was questioning him, he just spilled the whole beans. And this was the essence of it. If you are not baptized in water in the name of Jesus only, you're not really saved. And I'm concerned about you and about your church and about your people. And you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. If you don't, you're not going to make it. You're not right with God. Well, unfortunately, that's a brother that's spying out our liberty. Now, he is a brother. I believe he's a brother in the Lord. But he's spying out the liberty that God's people have. And unbeknownst to him, would be trying to bring us back into bondage again. There are those that would say, if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. The Bible doesn't say that. There would be those that would go beyond that and say, if you're not baptized in our church, you're not saved. There would be those that would say, if you're a smoker, you're not saved. I heard the wildest one yesterday that I've heard in a long time. It went something like this. I believe I'll say it faithfully. Christian women ought not to wear red dresses because it makes them look like hussies and street women. And do you know, this is what is so dumb. The same preacher that would preach that a woman ought not to wear a red dress will get up in a pulpit looking like Jerry Lee Lewis. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, he'd wear a suit like this, red. I don't look exactly like Jerry Lee Lewis, I know that. You get the point that I'm making? See, it's wrong for a woman to wear a red dress, but it's okay for a man to wear a red suit. Isn't that dumb? Isn't that dumb? And what would be next? Well, prostitutes and criminals live in houses. Therefore, a Christian should not live in a house. The mafia eats steak for dinner. Therefore, no self-respecting Christian would ever be caught eating steak. That's just that dumb, isn't it? But many of you know what I'm talking about because you've been there.
There are those that would say that you ought not to pray out in the Spirit, everybody praying together like that. It's disorderly.
It's disorderly to the kingdom of the devil. That's where it's disorderly.
Well, you ought not to sing out in the Spirit like that. Every time you all have a service, you sing out in tongues. Don't you tell me the Holy Spirit's anointing you to do that every time.
No, the Holy Spirit isn't. We're doing it by obedience unto God. Paul says, I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. And there are those, you see, that have had a legitimate move of God in their life and have really been turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ, but have fallen back into these traditions and doctrines of men and have received these bondages and have lost their liberty. When their liberty is gone, their joy is gone. When the joy is gone, the strength is gone. When the strength is gone, the ministry is gone. And all you have left is a caretaking operation where you look after a bunch of old ladies. That's right. That's right. And that does not expand the kingdom of God. It will not bring people into the kingdom of God. The world has seen that kind of a body for so long, it doesn't know what to do with the new one. Okay? The one that God is making in the earth today. In the 16th verse of the second chapter of Galatians, Paul says these words. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He says by the good works that you do and by keeping the law, no man will ever be made right with God. It's impossible to be made right with God. Through good works. We're made right with God only one way, and that is by the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There isn't any other. And when we come into the kingdom of God that way and receive our righteousness that way, not our righteousness, His is given unto us, and the result is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to tell you right now, nobody is going to take my liberty from me. And as long as I'm pastor around here, there's nobody going to take our liberty from us. Not anybody out there, not anybody who's in here. I won't let it happen. We're not going to lose our liberty, nor our joy, nor our strength. We're justified by our faith in Christ Jesus, and not by works of the law. Now one other thing I want to say to you before we leave this topic is back in the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, and someone will pick this up and say, what are you saying? You can go on and do anything you want. That's not what you said this morning. I don't want anybody to be confused. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Use not liberty to sin. Use not liberty to oppress another. Use not liberty as an occasion to indulge yourself. But don't throw your liberty away. All right? It does matter how you live. It does matter the condition of life that you have. It also matters that we maintain liberty. Paul said, everything is lawful for me, but everything is not expedient. That's an interesting verse. 1 Corinthians 10:23. He said, everything is lawful for me, but it's not all expedient. He said, I can do anything I want to do, but some things are better to do than others, and some I just avoid because they don't edify me.
He said, I can do what I want in Christ Jesus because I have liberty in the Lord. But some things are just not good to do, so I don't do them. Everything's lawful, but they're not all good. Now Paul says to the Galatians in the third chapter, these verses, beginning to read at verse 1. And this kind of brings us together, I think. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That give you an indication where these kind of thoughts come from? The word bewitch. It doesn't matter whether they come through a brother. I'll tell you, any brother that says that you ladies have got, if you wear red dresses, that you're not glorifying God. I tell you, I like my wife in a red dress. I just think she looks good in a red dress. Here's a sister here looks great in a red dress. Here's some other red dresses out here. They look fine. The blood that Jesus shed on Calvary wasn't purple. What kind of dumb thinking is that? Who's bewitched you, he said. Even though they were good brothers, they had their ideas twisted. He said, who bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Tell me one thing. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit of God because you didn't have a red dress on? Did you receive the Spirit of God because you weren't smoking? Did you receive the Spirit of God because you didn't make a fool out of yourself and jump up and down when everybody else in the house was singing? Did you receive the Spirit of God because when everybody else was clapping, you went like this? Looked like angel. Is that why you received the Spirit? Or did you receive the Spirit through the hearing of faith? Did you believe the word that was preached to you and receive the Spirit? Are you so foolish then? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You got started by faith and now you're going to be perfected by good works? No. He says, that's dumb. Don't be so foolish. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does the power of God move among you? By the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And the Lord has shown me that this is something we must be careful of. In our own fellowship, we must be careful in our own individual lives. We must be careful in our ministry as a body. We must recognize that those that would come in to spy out our liberty, sincerely, most of them believe that they would be helping us. But we must resist any effort to bind. We must resist any effort to bring the children of God under bondage. The Lord has called us to liberty. He's called us to freedom. Our freedom is the source of our joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the source of our joy, and the joy is the source of our strength. I believe that as we become more visible, I believe as the Lord begins to move more powerfully among us, I believe that as we are better known, that we are likely to have more of this kind of thing come against us. Many of you have already experienced this in personal relationships with other people. You remember this. Psalm 119, verse number 45 says this, I will walk in liberty because I seek thy precepts. I will live in liberty because I know your word. And your word, you see, will keep me free. Psalm 119:45, is that the right one? I will walk at liberty. I will live in liberty. I'll live in liberty because I seek thy precepts. I seek thy truths. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I am free, 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 free. Hallelujah. And I like it. I like it. And I'm not trading it back in for another form of bondage. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your liberty in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you've not called us to bondage. You haven't given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you've given us the spirit of adoption that we should know in whom we've believed. That we should know that we're children of the King. That sets us free. You're our Heavenly Father. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That makes us free. That makes us on top, not on the bottom. Thank you, Father. What a glorious, precious gospel we have to proclaim, Lord. Liberty in place of captivity. Freedom in place of slavery. Peace in place of confusion and depression. Joy in the place of oppression and bondage. What a glorious, wonderful gospel. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, makes this kingdom, this wonderful kingdom, available to us. We thank you, Father, also for your truth, that whosoever will may come. And that any man, you said that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So that any man who would desire to be set free, to be set free from what other people think he ought to do, to be set free from the condemnation and the guilt on the inside, to be set free from hating himself, to be set free from despair and discouragement, to be set free from wicked and evil desires and thoughts, to be set free from all that would bind, that you've made such a simple way in Jesus Christ. That simple, wonderful truth he that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved and set free. Father, if there be any here tonight that have not appropriated your liberty, have not received Jesus as Lord, I ask you, Father, to draw that person by your Spirit. Begin, Yeshumahun devarku shefati. Eto monofon de biakyo shefuron de manohoya kati. Ye buton fana bushan no koite monavatan noia de busha. Yadomendo viracori shet of reboyato manata. Doi mandum verabashon gariti buyata maneata. Ai to manto ferabo shando ko ite boriando bida. Doi mando vera con che batom vina bata ke che te mona. Yato mnovaton do keren che vera korite boya. Ero munda vera karin che fura banno bada ka i an che varato. Ya morte vera mo ho shanno ke mando videti. Ye tu aba yeshova no baka ite vo che baton no roya taka. Ai domano vashando kaparando biere kohia. Yashum vina batona. Yotamine fatando keranche varoto ye. Yotamuro koriance fota bariataki.
Я фотеминон де вера кушибатум вена, он де мафанда кушибатул, я ром де барко и шефотанно, я тум марокориан шефера тумана, я тум манакари и шефудабатум венанда, дам буракаран шефия, дам бон шефера тумана, дам мандо филан шефира кайе, я тум вера бошанда баракайе, я и вутамано хошанда батики, дам варотумана шурта бакахите. Там фон шабатон мака, дон бараку шафитя. Шамо накахите бутану фашапити, дану фандаканчанту, карту барачанти. Йоката богу шефатону батайонат. Thank you, Father, for your prayer helper. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who helpeth us in our weaknesses when we don't know how to pray as we should. Thank you, Father, for praying for us and making intercession for us according to the perfect will of God. Thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Father, for the supernatural gifts of your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the earnest of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you abide in us because of your Spirit whom you have given unto us.
It is by my spirit and by my voice and by my son that I have called you. And ye know my voice now. Ye hear my voice now. It is me. And I say unto thee, my daughter, rise up and come unto me. Reach out unto me, and I will take thy hand, and I will lead thee into the everlasting kingdom. Perfect intercession has been made for you. The way is clear, the path is straight. And I say unto thee, it is easy tonight. And I say unto thee, pick up thy hands and be not afraid. For I have called thee out of among thy wickedness. And I'll know that I will forgive thee if thou will only look up and reach out unto me, my daughter, and take hold of me. For I draw nigh unto thee this night. Hold not back from the Father, for the Father loves you and calls unto you. It is by my spirit and by my might, and it's by my word. And my son, I have used you tonight to call out unto your God. For many shall be saved through you, and ye shall see the fruits of your labor, and ye shall know that ye speak on my behalf, and ye shall prophesy, and ye shall be called my son, and others shall be drawn to me through you. And I say, hold not back that which ye know to do, for I have called many through you. And therefore I say unto my daughter, seek my face, and know that it is my son and my voice that has called you this night.
All right, would you look at me, please? You may not know exactly what has just happened, but let me just tell you. God is speaking to at least one lady here. And I don't know who you are. He hasn't told me who you are. He rarely does. And you may not know who you are either, because you do not understand what it means to have God move upon you. But if you're the one that the Lord has spoken to tonight, while I was praying and while the sister was prophesying, is she speaking under the anointing of the Spirit of God? It is God speaking to you personally. He's speaking to you because he loves you. He's talking to you because he cares about you. And he wants you to come to him tonight. Now, something's happened to you tonight that you do not understand, perhaps. But you feel something strange. Yeah. on the inside of you. You feel God moving upon you. You don't know what it is, perhaps even. But you feel God moving upon you, and you know that it's God dealing with you. Sunday morning, about 4 weeks ago, the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with a lady in one of our services just like this. Began to speak to her, and she knew it was God. And she had known the Lord, but she had walked away from Him. She'd walked away and she'd gotten into sin. She'd left her first love. She wanted to come back, but she didn't quite know how. She told me after the service that when the Spirit of the Lord began to speak through someone in the service, through the supernatural gift of prophecy, she sat in her chair and she said, I'm not going, I'm not responding, I'm not listening, like this. But after the service, she was a weeping, crying hulk outside my door upstairs because she couldn't leave until she'd responded to the call of God, and she just fell on her knees and confessed her sin and asked Jesus to come back into her life again, and He did. Now, please don't make it so difficult on the Lord tonight if this is you that God is speaking.